Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today's guest is Antonella Spartella. Now, she is super fantastic, got so much talent. Antonella owns Wisdom for Women and founded the charity True to You. She teaches girls and women from all backgrounds empowerment self-defense, or ESD, which we'll probably refer to as we go through this conversation. And with Enneagrams, so hold on to your hats, because it's a favorite topic of mine. Those that have listened to me before know I love anything to do around understanding self and understanding others, and that's what you do with the Enneagrams. ESD is an evidence-based methodology that teaches you to recognize the signs of red flag behaviors and helps you respond using psychological, intuitive, emotional, and physical skills to prevent unwanted situations and support your healing if you've become a victim of abuse. Now, we talk about self-empowerment a lot, and this is probably one of the best resources that you are going to ever have. So hold on to your hats and keep listening. Antonella has been teaching primary violence prevention worldwide. She has a BA in psychology, is a personality profiler, a mediator, a mentor, and a coach, and works with neurodiverse individuals as a behavioral therapist. So this is going to be amazing. Now, I finally got through that, Antonella. For those that, you know, with this recording, it seems like I just got that perfect. But reading through that, I had a few goes at it, because there's so much of interest in that intro that I'm going to absolutely love our conversation. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, and hello to your listeners.
There's a lot in that, as I said, and we'll be able to touch on the Wisdom for Women, which is part with the Enneagrams, but also the charity. And who's Antonella? And that stuff we've just read, who's Antonella?
Yes, Antonella, you're looking at her right now, listening to her. Antonella is very complex, but also very simple. I came to Australia in 1985 when I was 8 years old. And with nothing, no English, and very typical of an immigrant story, growing up, supporting myself, going through uni. And, you know, I always had this fascination with human behavior. Many of you may resonate that when you were young, you were watching adults and you were just looking at them going, your adults are supposed to know better. So there was always this like very curious way of looking at adults and wanting to understand human behavior. That got me into psychology, and at the same time I started martial arts. And looking back now, everything I have done in my life has got me to where I am today. My daughters are close to 20 and 22 and living very independently. Like you mentioned, I have traveled the world and have been very blessed to meet women from all backgrounds. So I feel I have a really good understanding of the wisdom that women have when it comes to self-empowerment and learning how to take ownership of their safety.
So the Wisdom for Women, just explain more about what that actually is, please.
Yeah, well, Wisdom for Women, I've been in this space for over 20 years. As I said, when I started psychology and martial arts back in 1996, when I was 18.
What martial arts, just out of interest, Antonella?
Yeah, it's called Wing Chun Kung Fu. And actually, if the legend is true, it was developed by a Buddhist nun, where she observed a human body, using a human body to its advantage. And what I actually have found over the years is that girls and women find learning this type of martial arts much easier than other forms of martial arts, because we use our female power, like our hips and you know, being stronger in our bottom half of our bodies and being calm and relaxed. So it really was a perfect martial arts to get into.
Excellent. And the wisdom for women component of it then?
Yeah, so wisdom for women came about, originally it was called ESD Australia. Well, actually, there's a bit of transformation. First of all, my first registered business was called Intuitive Wing Chun Kung Fu. Then it became Empowerment Self-Defense Australia, which I still use, and then Wisdom for Women. And I guess it shows that journey of that culmination of understanding that, again, regardless of where you come from and what your background is, every woman wants to feel safe and empowered. And we have been indoctrinated to believe that women don't have what they need inside of themselves. And in fact, we all have everything we need inside of ourselves. We've just been taught to look always outside of us for our health, our safety, our identity. So the wisdom for women is about connecting, reconnecting again with the power inside and our own internal wisdom.
Look, that is incredibly valuable. I'm reading one of the Brené Brown books at the moment. And if anyone's read Brené Brown, she's an incredibly talented woman. The books are just hard slog because they're so academically founded. But talking about the things that bring women shame, which then disempowers them, and it's simple things that, and what she found was that if she's working, well, then there's critics of her, well, you should be looking after children. What's, you know, you're not doing a great job as a mother. And things, and the opposite then goes, if she wasn't working, well, then you're not contributing. It doesn't matter where it comes from. There's this or but this. It's that we can, and as women, what she identified, the things that get to us the most and mean the most to us is that correction, insult, challenge of our the way we look and the way we mother. They were the two big components that she's found were the most disturbing for women and the most challenging when somebody criticizes those components of it. And you can't find that from outside. You have to find it, the power inside, don't you?
Yeah, she's incredible, and she says it how it is. And you're right. We as women, we just get mixed messages all the time, and you only have to look at the covers of magazines. One week they says, "Oh, look at this celebrity, she's lost X amount of weight," and then the next week, "Oh, look at this celebrity, same person, she's happy in how her body looks, and it may not be, you know, formed to what society deems beautiful." So we're just getting bombarded by mixed messages. And again, like I said, we've been trained to look always outside of us for validation and acknowledgement. And really, we need to work on ourselves. It is a journey where we need to undo all of the programming that you know, from decades and decades of media, and start looking back to the simple things in life and recognizing, having that self-awareness when what we are doing is in alignment with someone else's agenda as opposed to our own internal wisdom.
How do we do that? How do we recognize it?
Well, yeah, a couple of things. First, you do need to take responsibility and recognize that you may, no fault of your own, so there's no victim shaming or blaming anybody, but to recognize that we have been programmed, and when you're programmed, you don't realize it, that you are just following a certain set of values and belief systems based on what society tells us we should believe. I think one of the things that I have seen is be surrounded by people who take responsibility for themselves, to be, to have, people that have humility and actually call out themselves and go, ah, yeah, what I just said, yeah, I take ownership of that. That really is not really what I believe in it. It's because I've heard it from someone else. Mm. So be surrounded by people that call you out for your best interest, not to shame you or blame you or attack you, but to say, hey, Janine, love you. What you just said there really is not for, you know, a better purpose. So maybe just, you know, check in and see, you know, how that sits and then what you want to do with that. So generally, but most people, if someone, if I said that to somebody, they may get really offended. So it's, again, it's like, is this person saying it for my betterment, or, you know, to attack me? So you got to be quite discerning. And, you know, part of that work that I do with women is to understand what is an alignment, where are you getting offended when you shouldn't be offended, understanding that people are calling you out for you to help support you, versus people that are, you know, calling you out really for their own agenda and reasons.
That's really important, because you need to know who those people are that are in your corner, and by doing exactly what you're saying, you actually build a lot of resilience too, don't you? Because you acknowledge, okay, that doesn't serve me. It doesn't serve other people for me to behave like that, to speak like that, to respond even like that. Mm-hmm. I know when I'm working with clients, I'll often hear them use negative speak, that, or just even, you know, they'll speak to themselves quite negatively. Oh, I'm such an idiot, or something along those lines. Just put that, the universe, that wasn't me saying it for me. Okay. But they'll do something wrong, and then they'll blame themselves and insult themselves. And I often challenge them to say, would you say that to a friend? And I had a conversation with someone the other day, exactly along this line. And she said, oh, I wouldn't. That's actually, I had it with my 8-year-old granddaughter. And because she said something, and I said, would you say that to your friend? She said, oh, no, that would be awful. And I said, well, why would you say that to yourself? Because it's really awful to do that. And she made then, she's 8-year-old, she made an argument against that point, going, oh, well, you know, that's just what I did. And I said, well, maybe you can be kinder to yourself as well. So hopefully it just triggered a little bit of a thought process for her.
She's lucky to have you, to start at such a young age. And it's that, you know, you teach others how you want to be treated. So if other people hear you self-deprecate yourself, even if it's in jest, and look, and we all do it to some extent, like, but if it's a common theme, or it's, you know, you do it all the time, that's a problem. But it's really, like you say, would you talk to someone else that you love and care for? And we all know that the person that we should care and love the most starts with us. And then everything else flows from that. But
Definitely. And I think that's one of the things that, I'm just speaking for me personally, is, you know, people see a level of confidence within me. And it's hopefully, you know, doesn't ever come across as arrogance, because it's never meant to be. But it's just as I don't have to prove anything to other people. It's just is. But I think it really comes from, because I stopped doing this years ago, and I pulled myself up on it just with all the teachings and the things I've been doing over, you know, the last 40 years. And it has made such a big difference into who I am now. And I think that's such an important, but just recognizing it when you're doing it too, Antonella.
Oh, again, that self-awareness. I mean, lately there's been a few little, I don't know how you call it, but certain themes like self-awareness and context and nuance. But if people had self-awareness, the world would be a better place. It really would be. Because again, by being, and look, we've been very lucky. We both believe in investing in personal growth, investing in coaches and mentors and workshops. And not everybody has access to that, but most people do have access to the internet, and there's so many free, you know, clip YouTube. And you, again, you got to take self-responsibility for your own personal growth. Mm. And it is, it can be for many, you know, you're opening up Pandora's box, because who knows what kind of trauma you are experiencing. But you want to start dealing with your own traumas, your own blocks and barriers, to start moving forward, because we now have enough information out there that intergenerational trauma causes more trauma, and we all have a responsibility to say it stops with me. So it, regardless of what spectrum you are in, of what trauma you have sustained in your life, we all have some sort of trauma, but we as parents, as partners, we have a responsibility to have self-awareness, to understand what, you know, when we're playing and acting out based on what is not in true alignment in our wisdom, and how we are influencing others around us, whether you have kids, you've got staff, your community, family, friends. It, there's a ripple effect, you know, you can't deny that.
Most definitely. And I love the fact that you brought up there's plenty of information out there in the world. I mean, there's 174 episodes of the We Are Women podcast, and there's amazing women like yourself that I've interviewed from all around the world that have something to offer to help you take on that self-empowerment. It, you know, reading books, I speak to people sometimes and go, well, I never read anything. And if you don't like reading it, listen to the books. And I have always have audio and reading material going, and, you know, try and get through about 100 books a year, whether fiction, nonfiction. I love fiction also. But you learn from those books, because you learn how people interact with each other and the conversations and everything. But it, all of that is expanding yourself, and you become a lot more self-aware, which is exactly what you're saying. And it's so important. And it's, you know, finding the right people to be able to help you progress is an important aspect. But if, again, there's so much free stuff that you just hook on to the right people who are giving the information to help you move forward. And I know I was on the weekend, we're recording this on a Monday, on the weekend I have been upgrading my website and just getting everything in line. So it's really mind-numbing, pedantic work, which I am not a perfectionist. So instead of doing something once, I go check it, multiple, go back, you know, it takes ages. But I've been binging on YouTube. So I've got two screens. On the other screen is the YouTube recordings and conversations going. And they've been more political type topics at the moment, because I just want to stay informed with that. But there's stuff there. There's lots of opportunity to do it. Go for a walk, plug it in or whatever. So there's no excuse. There is no excuse not to be absorbing information from outside that's going to help you become more self-aware and thus empowering self, isn't there?
100%. Yeah. Podcasts and YouTube clips, they are free. Like I said before, if you have access to the internet, there is no reason why I mostly put them on when I'm driving, but you keep updating your software, your programming.
I love that statement. Update your software. Yeah. And update your programming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
That is such an important aspect, because we have all been programmed. And as you said, you came from a, you know, very traditional European background, which is quite different than my, you know, free sort of living Queensland upbringing that was highly invested in being outdoors, playing sports and being the tomboy. So that's, and it was very different culturally than what you had. And each one you programmed for different components, and being observant. And this is why I love with the Enneagrams, because that's where that helps you be observant, doesn't it? And figuring out what motivates other people.
Yeah, and speaking of the Enneagram, what I do is very niche. I don't know anyone else that does it. If you're out there and you do, you know, the Enneagram and then self-defense, let me know, reach out. But, you know, there are so many different personality profiling tools, and Myers-Briggs I love for different reasons. And, you know, then you've got DISC, which is a bit, again, oh, they're all great, very different. The Enneagram for me is a very beautiful, holistic, you know, you've got literally the mind, body and soul connection. So it does bring in the essence of who you are on a soul level. So some people may not resonate with that language, but we all feel that intuitiveness within ourselves, that gut feel when we something is not in alignment. We know what it is. For my purposes, I will use, I guess, if you want to call it the spiritual esoteric definitions, but the Enneagram really, through mindfulness and meditation, requires you to sit still within yourself and ask yourself quite deep questions, which we have the answers inside of us. Now, how does that work in with self-defense? Well, it's actually the essence of what I do with Wisdom for Women, in that because of our programming, our software, our culture and our belief systems, most of us keep looking outside of us to tell us who we are. And now bring in what we talked about before with media, all that confusion of the external media of trying to tell women who they should be, what they should look like, how they should mother and feel, and they should be as a partner. Again, we've outsourced our identity through external mediums. So, but the wisdom, the Enneagram allows you to do the inner work, and by understanding who you are as a person, you then can, what I do with Wisdom for Women is match your personality type with your self-defense style. Now, Remember, self-defense, most people think straight away kicking and punching, but it's self-defense that I teach. It's not, yes, also the physical aspect, but with ESD, it's the emotional, the psychological, the intuition, it's the verbal. So we all know somebody in our life that triggers us, that pushes our buttons, whether it's someone at work, a family member. We all have someone where we either respond by avoiding the conversation or freezing and not knowing what to do and just looking and agreeing to what the other person is saying, or we just get into attack mode straight away. So we all fall into, you know, to keep it simplified into one of those three categories. So again, how do we respond to people that trigger us, unwanted situations, in a way that honors our personality type? Well, first of all, you got to know what personality type you have. You got to understand what is it about other people that trigger you and why, and then to come up with a new way of responding using psychological, emotional, verbal, and if you have to, physical skills. So it's, I found, being a type 9, which is a peacekeeper, so a flight personality, I've always, my go-to, my instinct is to provide peace. Can everyone just love each other and be happy and talk nicely to each other? You know, we all know those kinds of people. So we want to we do anything to keep the peace, and hence why I was a great mediator for nearly 10 years. It just came naturally to me. But that's our go-to to keep us safe, not the situation safe, but us safe, even if it's most of the time not the right way to respond. So by being self-aware, doing the work on who, what type of personality type you are and how you respond to unwanted and confrontational situations, you can start then using new tools and becoming more strategic, not instinctive, strategic, which is uses a different part of our brain to come up with a more proactive, more empowered way to respond to unwanted situations. Because the people like me who are conflict averse look at someone like you, Janine, who is, you know, you're a go-getter, you're the eight from memory, you go in there.
I was going to ask you, just so that listeners know, have heard me, you know, for years, and you know me fairly well, to define mine and what is would be my go-to.
Yeah, so the eight, and again, there's so much free information online, the eight, the boss, the challenger, you know, sticks up for the little person, goes in there without even thinking, just goes in there and starts, for lack of a better word, attacking, or just going hardcore powerful. And I'm looking at people like Janine going, oh, I want to be like her. Why can't I be like her?
But and, not, you know, necessarily when I'm triggered the wrong way.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
I'll go in on the attack, which is unnecessary. And usually, unfortunately, it's my, you know, poor husband of 45 years, that rather than using the whole I know better responses.
Yeah. So, and this is the thing, right? So I'm looking at people like Janine, where, you know, powerful and really assertive, and I'm now putting myself down going, I'm hopeless. I can't do that. And it's by understanding and honoring, you know, being true to you, which is the name of the charity, being true to you and understanding, well, there's a different way for you, Antonella, to honor what you already have inside and use the tools you already have inside to respond to those situations. Whereas if Janine, you come to one of the workshops and I say, Janine, well, maybe you need to take a breath before you go in there automatically. That's your instinct to go powerful, go. And you really need to take a deep breath and hold yourself back. Whereas I need to take a deep breath and move more forward.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's that nuance and context of understanding that we, if we do not understand ourselves on a deep level, we will always react instead of respond.
And the other one you said is the people who avoid it as well.
The people, the ones, the twos and the sixes, they're the threes. Also, the avoidance are the fours, the fives and the nines. The attack, the fight are the sevens, the eights and the threes. So the threes people, well, they just stand there and just look at you and, you know, somebody wants to assert their dominance over you, you just stand there and not respond. And you and that gives them the message of, oh yeah, they agree because they're not saying anything.
Right.
So
yes. And being quiet is a response too.
Being quiet is a response. And I find myself I'm listening all the time. I'm always nodding my head in acknowledgement. And with nines, when you see a nine, you know, nodding her or his head, that doesn't mean I agree with you. It's just I'm taking it in. I'm hearing what you're saying. I can see your perspective. Yep. Mm-hmm. But I will most likely not speak up. That's as well as what a nine does. They don't speak up. Whereas as nines, we need to learn to speak up and actually say what we think, but we tend to not to because we don't want to like cause any issues.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting that you have the psychology degree, because a beautiful friend I had lunch with yesterday, and I'm guaranteed she's a peacemaker as well, and she's does psychology will along those lines. She works with people in that space. It's beautiful at doing it. And I have to remember we have fantastic conversations on every topic that you could possibly imagine. Don't always agree on everything, but we tend to be aligned a lot. But I have to remember to ask her opinion. And I do with her most of the time. And I do with others, because that's what I do with coaching and everything now. And that's a different space for me than it was, say, 15 years ago even. But I have to be reminding myself to do it.
Yeah, no, spot on, Janine. I mean, especially with a nine, if you are working with a nine, or if you have a friend or a partner, a colleague that's a nine, it's important to ask them for their opinion. They have a lot to say. Mm. It's just that they will not speak up, because first of all, we will not speak up if we are not being taken seriously, or if people do not want to hear what we say. We'll just keep it to ourselves.
Mm.
And that's fine with us.
Yes, whereas us eights, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that's in our house, and it's surprising that we've been together for, you know, for so long, is my husband is I'm sure an eight or a lot or a seven or three. Is that the other ones? What's the other?
Yeah, on the fight, yeah,
Yeah.
seven, eight, and three.
Yeah. So we're in that same sort of space. So we both tend to go in, but he'll his response. And I'm sure he loves me talking about him. His response is to extract himself from the situation and not deal with it. So he actually takes more peace, does do peacemaking things because he doesn't want to make anything worse. So he probably is more on that peacemaker, but his response is withdrawal.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he might be an eight, sorry, a nine, a peacekeeper with an eight wing, which is what I have. So,
Right.
like you, my partner is the only person where I can fully express myself and get angry at, and without feeling threatened, because he is emotionally mature that he can hold the space and he will not threaten to leave or to come back and attack me. My first go-to is keeping the peace. Let's talk about it calmly. But of course, the nines too have a lot of anger in them too. It's just they don't have a safe avenue to express. Now, your husband may find that you create that safe space for him to express, knowing that you will still be, married by the end of the day. But he wants to avoid conflict first, but he has a lot of anger like I do too. But we just want to have a safe space to express it. So,
Interesting. Look, you've talked a lot about, you know, the different numbers in Enneagrams, but there'll be people listening that have probably never ever heard or never have done anything along those lines. So just even your definitions of, you know, talking about you and me and the people in our lives helps. But is there anything else that will help explain it a little bit more for people?
as I said, there is a lot online. There's lots of different free tests that you can do to find your number. Now, this is not about putting people in a box, because the other thing, the beautiful thing with the Enneagram, is that we have subtypes, we have wings, and context and nuances is everything. And it is really, yeah. So go online. You type in the Enneagram and find out more about that. There are lots of great workshops that I have attended all around Australia and online. I'm doing currently my practitioner certification through the US, the Narrative Enneagram, which I'm really excited about. But again, people may ask, what does that have to do with self-defense? There's also the somatic aspect of the Enneagram, so how we physically manifest our trauma in our body. And with the self-defense, using that framework of self-defense, we get to practice how you need to move your body. So it could be a head, heart, or a body type, and where we hold our trauma and our pain. So it fits beautifully in, like I said, the holistic framework of ESD and self-awareness. And if people knew more about who they are, know thyself, there will be more peace in this world. Because it's not about ego, it's not about power, it's not about fear, which we all know is what reasons why we have so many problems in this world. And hurt people, as we've heard that as well. So a lot of, you got to take responsibility and ownership of your inner hurts and start working with them, because that does flow onto our communities, our loved ones.
And look, this I have no idea, and I'm just doing a really simplistic response here. But if I was thinking about peacemakers, I would be thinking that physically they would take it into their heart.
Ah, interesting.
And if I was thinking about eights, like myself, physically would take it into the headspace.
Ah, okay. Well, in this case, actually, the triad, the body, so the eights the nines and the ones. This is why it's such
around
a,
the circle.
It's a holographic approach. The eights, the nines, and the ones, we're the body types. So we actually are quite physical. And I know that you enjoy your golf and, you know, you have a background in aerobics and it makes sense. We go to physical movement to move our frustrations. We need to move our bodies. The fours, the threes, the fours, and the fives are the heart type. So they are about the feeling. So they go into the heart space. So they need to look into their emotions to move that frustration around. And then you have the sixes. Have I got this right? Five, six, sevens.
Yeah, two, three, four, and then five, six, sevens.
Yes, I've got it somewhere. Hang on, somewhere here. Yes. Two, threes, fours, hearts, and the five, six, sevens. Head.
Yeah.
Head. So they go into, that's their head space. They're just like, you know, overthinking, overanalyzing. They feel stressed and they just use their head space and mental capacity to work through the problem. So knowing again what type you are, to balance all of those areas, we need to amalgamate all of those head, heart, body types within us. So it is a beautiful way of us playing into different spaces and just being aware.
That makes so much more sense than what I said. And that physical component, because again, for me, I don't get stuck in my head. So I don't know why I said that was the head stuff at all. I often say I'm like a goldfish, sort of get to the end of the conversation and anything that bothered me, it's forgotten because not all the time, of course, there were things that, that trigger, but most of the time I'm off doing something else. So yeah. And so the physical part just makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
Just let me go and do something.
Yeah. Walking makes us feel better. Just moving the body is like we need to move the energy around using our body. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. Then in the intro, I brought in the charity, and you've mentioned the True to You charity. What is that about?
Yeah, very proud. I've been wanting to do this for decades, and you know, everything happens in the right time. True to You is a charity that is designed to provide train the trainer programs and workshops to the community. So let's talk about the train the trainer aspect. I will be training community leaders who are advocates for personal safety and believe in the empowerment self-defense framework, which is evidence-based, like you said, to then become ESD champions, ESD trainers in their community. Now, what do I mean by community? You could have elders in the Indigenous community who have their own issues in regards to abuse and violence, because nuance and context is very important. So I, as an not being Indigenous and not understanding the lived-in experience, I think that's very key, the lived-in experience of what it means to be in an Indigenous community. Somebody in that community who has been trained in ESD can now provide the workshops to their community. Someone from the LGBTQ+ community can be trained in the ESD framework and talk about self-defense and assertiveness in the framework of what it means to be gay and so forth. This training is going to be provided to different countries, predominantly in the Southeast Asia. So I've traveled a lot. So the issues that women face in Pakistan is going to be very different from the issues that women face in Papua New Guinea. Mm-hmm. So it's training community leaders in the framework to then go back to the communities and start teaching. And they're going to use the language. They're going to use the examples. They're going to use the culture, the religion, the belief systems that affect that particular community particularly.
Wow. That's impressive. And that just makes so much sense. that, you know, the different experiences, lived experiences from people can be, if someone within that community understands that, it makes a whole lot of difference, because there's no way I could walk into that space and start talking about that, their experiences at all. It's not that someone wouldn't be empathetic to it, they just wouldn't understand that lived experience. So how do you then fund this for the charity, Antonella?
Yeah, well, we're at the very beginning stages, but we have been very blessed to receive a substantial amount of funding to set the charity up, the Checkmark Fund for Anti-Violence Prevention. So that will enable us to build the building blocks of, you know, the website, marketing, having consultants for governance and risk management. So we've been able to secure that. We also just recently have been invited. So this particular, the Call to Action for Women's Health Fund, which is based out of the US, it's a $250 million US dollar grant pool. And we have been invited to apply to this particular grant. Johns Hopkins University.
That's exciting. Sorry, I just have to hold you on that. That's very exciting.
It is exciting. And it was, the submission was due on the 10th of January. And myself and three other colleagues from Nashville, the US, Albania in Europe, and Brazil, all my colleagues from around the world, we all submitted individual applications, but we are working in collaboration. And Johns Hopkins University is interested in becoming part as a partner to research and begin longitudinal studies to see early intervention programs in high school, mm-hmm. For girls in high school, and then follow them through five or however long to see what the rates of victimization and abuse and violence is like after they receive this training. So the evidence already shows that if women and girls go through the ESD program, the rates of victimization abuse is reduced. That's why I love that it's evidence-based.
Yeah.
And so if that is successful, we may be getting $1 million US dollars. And what that means is to start getting community leaders from Southeast Asia, including New Zealand and Polynesia, obviously in Australia, to start reaching out to community leaders and start teaching them the ESD framework. And this is where we are going to see grassroots change. And that is really important, because one of the criticisms of what we do is men should change, then women will have no problem. Well, I agree in an ideal world, but we're talking about human behavior. Mm-hmm. We have a judicial system that not even that can control human behavior. We have free will. And even like we go into the car, we'd start driving, we put our seatbelt on, we follow all the rules, we do everything, but someone decides not to be a good driver and then we get impacted. So we're always on alert to be responsive and take safety in our own hands. Mm. So the same thing is when we start teaching communities that they can take self-agency, self-empowerment, self-responsibility for their own self, then we start seeing a grassroots change. Because you imagine in some populations especially that you're going to have men who just believe that it's okay to abuse and violate women and girls. They just think that's normal. But if these women who get trained up in ESD, they start changing their programming, going, actually, it's not okay for someone, anyone or male to violate me, I'm going to now respond using my ESD skills.
Mm.
And that may be enough to stop that man from continuing that abuse. Now, he might try it now with somebody else and she responds with ESD. And after so many goes, the guy goes, what I'm doing is not working. And then he, you know, will have a change to think that I can't get away with bad behavior because women and girls are standing up for themselves.
And it becomes, as you said, we talked about the, you know, the ripple effect. If someone if a mother does it, then a daughter recognizes that within her mother, you know, it's
100%.
and all the sons recognize that as well. That just makes so much sense, and it is so empowering. And you know, it's we know that men are it's not all men. You can't rely outside. You have to rely inside. And I was talking, you know, the other day with my 11-year-old grandson, and we're talking about different how women and men are different, and he's asking questions. I said, well, we're walking across the car park here. I'm being very observant to who's around me. I'm aware of my situation. And he said, oh, I said, if you asked a man, they most likely wouldn't be, because they don't have to be. Whereas part of my thing to keep myself safe is to be very observant of what's going on. And he was, he got that that was a simple little difference. But he didn't understand why, because he's an 11-year-old boy. But that, and it just start, hopefully, again, opens up conversation and thoughts along the way. And that's try training women, then everyone in their lives and they connect with have the opportunity then to see something on a different space, as you said, you know, and then it may change their behavior, may not, but you can't rely on changing other people's behaviors.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, one thing that I know for sure, I have my lived experience of teaching, for example, women that have been exiled from Myanmar, and I taught a 3-4 day program in Chiang Mai. Now, this group of women experienced unimaginable trauma, like isolation, being captured by the coup, being exiled. They don't have an identity anymore. And I taught them the same program that I would teach anyone, anywhere, doesn't matter. And they, by the end of that program, realized that they have found who they were again, because they lost their identity. Mm-hmm. And these women, part of the healing is being in that circle and sharing their experiences. And I just hear all the time women saying, it was only me. I thought I was the only one thinking that. I thought that only happened to me. And by sharing is healing. And women not being isolated, which is another issue that we've been experiencing with COVID, being isolated and getting information from outside again, instead of trusting our own intuition, our own wisdom. Women, by hearing other people share their own their experiences as well, made them realize there was nothing wrong with them. Just like, yes, I actually need to listen to my intuition more and trust myself more. And that, again, is powerful. You cannot underestimate how powerful that is. And we don't do that enough. We too much one way scrolling on social media, listening to everyone else tell us what exercise, what diet, what we should wear. But we don't have that interpersonal connection that we are designed to have. And there's a reason for that, and we won't go down that path.
We could continue this conversation for hours here, Antonella. Yes. And just following on for that, I mean, it's one of the reasons I started the We Are Women mastermind groups nearly 10 years ago, because it's a space where women can come together and share that and realize I'm not the only one that's having this issue in business or life, or you know, the opportunities and the friendships and the connections that have been made through that. And even if people haven't connected that way, they still found a safe space to air the things that they need support with. Because, and particularly, you know, if we're talking sole traders here in Australia, you're working by yourself and you are isolated. So you absolutely need that support. And it's also one of the reasons we do the beautiful personal branding and style retreat. It's exactly the same thing, but it's, yeah, at a resort, and we get beautiful pictures and things like that as well.
Those mastermind Friday morning catch ups are great, and I've made great connections and friendships. And you're right that when you are, you know, in your own business, it can be very lonely, because, you know, generally speaking, we don't have resources to pay a marketing team, the social media team. We have to be very vigilant of where we spend our income in the business. So you end up doing a lot of things yourself, but and by connecting with like-minded women who are here with a purpose and want to be of service to the community, you know, it just gives you that reassurance that you're not the only one in your own office trying to do 10 things, you know, the websites. Like I actually too was doing that on the over the construction of my website. There are many of us out there. Yeah. But that's, you know, that's resilience. That's also building to serve our communities better and taking the time. It's a Friday morning. Like we start at what, 7:15 before, if you do have a traditional work day, or, you know, that's end of the week. Connections made, insights have been made, and you leave again renewed and with a sense of purpose and hope that you may have lost if you have been by yourself for a
absolutely
bit.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. And anyone that is in Southeast Queensland, then we do meet on the second Friday of each month. So, check it out and contact me. Antonella, we always do 3 takeaways. What, out of everything that we've discussed, what are the 3 points that you want some people to go, I definitely want to remember this, and this is really important?
Yes. All right. So let's finish up. The first one I would say is self-awareness. Start being uncomfortable with finding out who you are. And when I say being uncomfortable, it's like start being curious, start approaching it with a self-love and no judgment, and create a self-awareness of where your blind spots are. Now, it's a bit of an oxymoron, but to learn about your blind spots, you do need the support of people that you trust. And we talked about this at the beginning, that people that want the best for you to call you out on your blind spots. I have people like that in my life, and I give them permission to say, hey, call out my blind spots if you hear me start going off. The second one is that context and nuance is everything. I think nuance has become a bit of a buzzword lately, which is a shame, but nuance and context is so important when it comes to understanding how to respond to different situations, because what may happen in one situation and how you respond is may not be applicable to another situation. So again, it's been really flexible and having lots of self-awareness and tools to know how to respond in different situations with different people, and also acknowledging how you're feeling. So some days your boundaries will be stronger than other days. And again, just being self-aware why that is. And the third one would be to know thyself, get to know, invest time. You don't need to spend money. As I said, there's lots of free resources online to get to know who you are. If you want to use the Enneagram, I love that. There's Myers-Briggs, there's DISC, there's the Herman Brain Dominance Profiling Tool. There's so many others, but find one that resonates with you and start investing in your own personal growth and getting to know who you are, because that does unlock so many aspects of who you are. And if you do believe that you should be treated with respect, with love, then it starts with you. So stop giving your power away and take your power back and start empowering yourself by getting to know who you truly are.
I love that last statement too, treated with respect and love. If you think, so one thing, if you think that you deserve it or know that you deserve it.
Yes.
That's 2 different points, isn't it? I think I do.
Yeah.
And or I know I do. And that would be definitely part of that self-empowerment, to know you should be treated with love and respect.
Yeah.
I've absolutely loved our conversation. How can people get in touch with you and work with you, Antonella?
Yes, probably the easiest way is on my website, wisdomforwomen.com.au. From there, you can access all the social media and directly get in touch with me. I do prefer getting in touch with me directly. I have this thing about social media. I'm not on there much. So I like that one-on-one interaction. So wisdomforwomen.com.au.
Excellent. And for anyone listening, you've probably just, there's some ideas. I can imagine that people are sitting there thinking, well, okay, there's this component. I really need to have a conversation with Antonella and just learn a little bit more. It's I think for me, over the years of all the things I've invested in to do what I do, then knowing myself is probably been the most valuable out of absolutely anything. And then and do recognizing that it, how you respond to others in the world, but it's how you respond to yourself is the most important factor. But there's that analogy all the time, you know, if the oxygen drops from the ceiling in the plane, you put the mask on yourself first. And that's great. And that's a great analogy, but it's a lot more than that. It's not just saving yourself. It's ensuring that I know when my kids were people, because I used to go through the guilt thing because I'm working, I'm spending time learning things. And then I got to the stage where if my children need me, then I'm financially able to assist, which I have done a lot over the years. I am emotionally able to assist and mentally have the capacity to do that. So it's not just the better you are, the better you're able to assist the world without it taking from you.
Beautifully put, Janine. Yes. Being true to you makes it easier to know when you have enough to give to others because you cannot pour from an empty cup.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Antonella. I've really, really enjoyed that conversation. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. So thank you so much for joining us today. Get in touch with Antonella if there's anything particular that's resonated with you, which I'm sure there is. Remember, if you are a little bit unsure about where you're going in life and business, then you can go to janinevosper.com, book a strategy call, complimentary 30 minutes. And I guarantee if I can't help you, I have this large database of people that I can recommend that might just sort of fit into that expertise. I'd love to chat with you. Follow us on YouTube and also on anywhere you listen to this podcast. Bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.